Joshua chapter 2, starting with verse number 1. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stay seated while I read the scriptures here this morning. Great story about Joshua and a woman named Rahab. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly set two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out our land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she said. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and had returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, these Old Testament lessons and people and events and stories have been so wonderful, and the things that we can learn from them. And And maybe to some of us, these stories are brand new and they're fresh and we've never heard these stories before. And that's okay. There always has to be a first time to hear these wonderful stories. Father, today, what are we to learn from these spies? What are we to learn from this woman named Rahab and their actions and their conversations and all the events surrounding this? Father, may we learn a great deal. May new truths be revealed to us today, not only about this story and how it panned out for them, but also how it may apply to us in some way. So we thank you for the truths that you're going to share with us here today. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this is our 13th week in this ongoing sermon series that is titled Old Testament Lessons. And today we're going to talk about a very interesting woman. And her name is Rahab. And this woman is a prostitute. Some Bibles may use the word harlot. And today's message is titled The Protection of Rahab. As we go through these Old Testament stories week after week, many times it is difficult to understand the complete story of any individual unless we read everything that the Bible has to say about that particular individual now. And right now you may be wondering, you're saying, well, Mike, I don't know this story. What happens? What happens to Rahab? Does she survive? Is she killed by the Israelites? What happens to her family? Is she killed by her own people? Do the spies, do they get in trouble? What's going to happen? Well, I love telling stories, so I know how this story ends. And before we all leave here today, we're all going to know how the story ends and exactly what has happened with this woman named Rahab. Leading up to Joshua chapter 2, we know that Moses had died, and he was buried on Mount Nebo by God, the Bible says. And Joshua, this man Joshua, is now the new leader of the Israelites. And if we remember from one of our previous lessons, Joshua was one of the two spies who came back with a favorable report. Remember, it was Joshua and what was the other guy's name? Caleb. Very good. Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies that came back with a favorable report. And now the same Joshua is now the new leader of the Israelites. So what does he do? He sends out two spies to go over into Jericho to check things out. What's the land like? What are the people like? And of all places to go, they go into a house of a prostitute. Now we'll get to that here in a second. When we think of the word prostitute, or the word harlot, as some Bibles use, to describe a woman, chances are we are not going to think very highly of that woman. She is a sinner. We would probably say that. She engages in sexual immorality as a means to support herself. And sexual immorality goes against the word of God. And many people think of prostitutes as the lowest of the low on the social food chain. And we know in the New Testament, sexual immorality says that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It is certainly not an admirable profession for a woman to get into. But here, in Joshua chapter 2, we are introduced to a woman who is a prostitute. She is a harlot, and the Bible makes no bones about that. It doesn't try to skip over it and smooth it over. It says she is a prostitute. And her name is Rahab. She is a Canaanite woman. She's one of those despised Gentiles. And she lives in Jericho, which is in the land of Canaan, which is in the promised land, which will soon be taken over by God's people, the Israelites. This can't be good news for her or her people. So why do the spies go to the house of a prostitute? Let's look at the obvious. Because the men are maybe looking for a little excitement. I'm not going to rule that out. The Bible doesn't completely say why they are there. That is a possibility. But I believe as we see this story unfold, we are going to see the sovereignty and the purpose of God on full display right in front of us, right here in this story. It's like Romans 8:28. God can take even what seems to be like the most tragic of events and the most sinful of situations that we can commit, and he's still going to use those, according to Romans 8:28, for his glory and for the good of those who are called according to his purpose and those who love him. And even a Gentile prostitute, a harlot named Rahab, is no exception to the promises of God. As these two nameless spies are spying out Jericho, they are identified as Israelites by the people of Jericho, and they are seen entering this house of Rahab. And the king of Jericho, he's told about their actions, and the king wants these two men apprehended. But Rahab is not as loyal to her king as she is to the king. She says that the two men left. They left at dark before the city gates were closed, and they went on their way. And if you're in a hurry, you can overtake them. This is not a true story. She has actually hidden the two men up on her roof under some stalks of flax. Not only is Rahab a prostitute, she's a liar. So why would Rahab decide to protect two enemy strangers instead of telling the truth and turning them over to her own people? Well, luckily we have the full story and we know how it all ends. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, a New Testament book, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is better known as the faith chapter. And guess whose name is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 31? Rahab. She made the Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame. It says this, verse 31, Hebrews 11, 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. You know, I find it rather interesting that pretty much every time the name of Rahab is mentioned, either in the Old Testament or in the New, they can't get away from calling her Rahab the prostitute. But people can change. Amen? People can change. Rahab had faith. Of course she did. She made the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Faith in what or faith in who? Well, Joshua chapter 2 verse 11 gives us that answer. Because she says this to the spies. She says this, "For the Lord your God, he is God in all heaven, above and on the earth beneath." Rahab, this Gentile prostitute, somehow heard and knew and understood and believed and trusted in the God of Israel. She knew that God's mighty hand and his mighty power was going to be upon the Israelites. So she would protect these two men because she wanted to serve their God. And in serving their God and in protecting these spies, Rahab would find that God's protective hand was going to be upon her. Rahab's protection of these two spies and her confession of believing and trusting in the God of Israel became a turning point in her life and in the life of her family. It would be like today when an unbeliever decides to follow Christ. As we sang in that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a turning point in our lives when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. For Rahab, it was a turning point in her life when she decided she wanted to follow the God of Israel. And she believed that the same God would have his hand on the Israelites as they were soon to come in and take over the land of the Canaanites, starting with her city, the city of Jericho. The men swear to her that no harm will come to her and her family of the because of the protection that she had upon and provided on them. They tell her, drop a scarlet cord from your window. And when they come to invade Jericho, they will see the scarlet cord. And the Israelite warriors will be told not to harm anybody in that house that has the scarlet cord coming out of the window. Everyone inside will be spared. Although they do make this caveat. They say this, but all bets are off, Rahab. However, if you fail to comply with what we say. So we'll see how that turns out here in a little bit. The spies return back to the Israelite camp. It's now just a matter of time before they cross the Jordan River and they go and they take over Jericho. So what is the rest of the story? Because that's about all we know at this point. What happens to Rahab and her family and the spies and what happens to the Israelites? Well, if we were to move forward to Joshua chapter 6, and if you want to turn there, you can. I'm not going to read anything specifically out of there. But in Joshua chapter 6, now the Israelites are ready to take over the city of Jericho. They're ready to go in and they're ready to conquer. And we probably all know and have heard of that story before. The city is securely barred on the outside. No one can get in and no one can come back out. And the Lord gives Joshua the most unusual of commands. He tells Joshua, here's how you're going to take over the city. To have his men march around the city once a day for 6 days. 7 priests are going to carry trumpets as they carry the Ark of the Covenant around the city. And they will do that for 6 days. And then Joshua, on the 7th day, you and your men are going to march around the city 7 times. And when you do, the priests are going to blow their trumpets. And when the priests give one long blast on those trumpets, all the men are going to give a loud shout. And when you do, the walls of the city are going to collapse. Then you go in and you take the city. I hope we can all see that the Lord's plans and his methods are sometimes a little unconventional. You're Joshua. Lord, you want me to march around the city 6 times and do nothing but march around the city 6 times. That's right, Joshua. And on the 7th day, let me make sure I got this right, Lord. And on the 7th day, I'm going to march around the city 7 times with my men. And then the priests are going to blow the trumpets and we're all going to scream and the walls are going to come tumbling down. That's right, Joshua. Well, in Isaiah 55:8, it says this. God says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And your ways are not my ways. When God says march around a city, what do you do? You march around the city. The plan is executed according to what the Lord had spoken to Joshua. And on the 7th day, when the loud shout is given, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And everyone, the soldiers march in, everyone is killed, and the city is burned. Everyone that is except for Rahab and all her family who were in the house with her because she let the scarlet cord hang from her window. Rahab protected the spies Because Rahab had faith in the God of Israel. Because of her faith, the God of Israel protected Rahab and her family. Protection one way, protection back the other way. So let's conclude here, and let's look at the story from, first of all, a human perspective, and then from God's perspective. If we look at the story from a human perspective, we see that Rahab believed and she trusted in the God of Israel. We've already made that fact, the one true God. She heard of the God of the Israelites, and she desired to have him as her own God. But if we look back at Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, something that we read earlier, it says that all of Jericho had heard about the God of Israel. And they were all trembling in fear. So you got to ask, why was Rahab the only one who believed when everyone else heard the same report? This is where we have to look at it from God's point of view. We must look at the sovereignty of God. I am convinced that God had his protective hand upon Rahab long before Rahab ever had her protective hands upon the spies of Israel. And that is why we need to look at this story from both points of view. And Rahab's story does not end there. She does end up, her and her entire family, going to live with the Israelites, worshiping the God of Israel. But if we were to look at Matthew chapter 1, there's a genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. It's the genealogy of Jesus. And guess whose name is found in the genealogy of Jesus? Rahab. How did Rahab's name get in there? It says, if we were to look at that genealogy, it says that Rahab was the mother of Boaz. Remember Boaz? We talked about him a couple weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago. Boaz married a Moabite woman named who? Who remembers? Ruth. Named Ruth. Hey, Ruth's name is mentioned in there too. Ruth was the grandmother of King David. Ruth and Boaz had a son, Jesse. Jesse had a son, David. David became a king of Israel. Rahab was therefore the great-grandmother of King David. A despised Gentile prostitute living in a pagan country in the city of Jericho is in the ancestry of Jesus. Imagine that. Isn't that good news? That's great news. So who can God use? Who can God save? Who does God have his protective hand upon? I think when we answer those questions, we also answer the question, why did the two Israelite spies go to the house of a prostitute? It's all the hand of God. I said earlier that we would see the sovereignty and the purpose of God on full display in this story. And we have. Isaiah chapter 46 verses 9 and 10 says this. God says this through Isaiah. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. I declare the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. And sometimes God's purpose and sometimes God's good pleasure involves people just like Rahab. God had his protective hand upon Rahab, just like he has his protective hand upon every true believer today. Isn't that good news? So I ask this. Does God, Jesus, have his protective hand upon you today? As the song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. It comes down to the fork in the road. You can decide to follow you, or you can decide to follow Jesus. One path leads to eternal destruction, and the other path leads to eternal life. Amen. Let's pray.